and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the Stephanie Miller website, SexyLiberal.com, Sexy Liberal website. Check it out. It's Sexy Liberal Day because it's Friday, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Fugelsang.
Big announcement day. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Good morning, warm people.
Good morning, cold person. John Fugelsang. Oh, your sexy liberalness is heating up the New York
studio to
epic proportions.
Yes, I'm delighted I moved back here to the frigid Arctic North. It's wonderful. I don't miss L.A. at all.
Actually, it was in the 40s this morning, so it is a little chilly here.
Okay. Well, the 40s.
We're going to create our own heat this morning, John Fugelsang, because we have a huge sexy liberal announcement about an hour from now.
It's very sexy and very huge.
Oh, it's huge. Right, Jim? Huge.
Huge.
John Fugelsang, this one for you, Mary, on about the amazing Fort Lauderdale show last Saturday. Dear Mama, wanted to write sooner and let you know how much I enjoyed the show in Fort Lauderdale, but I've been crazy at work. Went with my daughter Rose, her wife Jen, my best friend Amy. They were all concerned that they would not get all the jokes because they don't follow politics as much as me. They were falling off their seats laughing.
Oh,
I don't know if we've had those reports yet. Falling off their seats.
Nice.
I have now created three more Steph heads. Oh, thank you. Thank you, three of them. Rose was laughing so hard when the four Republicans, two rows back from us from the left when you were taking the picture in your pants. I have my first walkout. Yay!
Yes.
I made some Republicans walk out with my twatch shot.
But they did not ask for refunds.
No. Woo-hoo.
All right, and, we'll take the money.
And she loved the thank you, please, and thank you. Alan Grayson, thanks you. We gave some proceeds to Grayson for Congress.
It was really a swinging show in Fort Lauderdale. I got such great mail about it. People loved it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rose posted on Facebook that she loves you. And can you let John know he has a follower that's not an ex-Catholic? Rose is 18 and in love with him. Hello.
Oh, nice.
And Amy is in love with Hal. Like, who isn't me? I just love you. I love you all. It's almost like picking your favorite Beatle, isn't it, John?
Well,
I would like to be John Lennon because Imagine's my favorite song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking Hal has to be Paul because he's the cute small one, and you're George Harrison.
I'll accept being George Harrison, but if you're John Lennon, does that make Lisa Yoko? That's the question.
The important thing is no one has to be Ringo because, you know.
who gets to be Stu Sutcliffe?
Oh.
I guess that's me. I wasn't on.
All right, Mary.
Roland is our Billy Preston.
P.S. Tell Jim and Chris I love them, too. That seemed like just a
side thought. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You can don't fight. You can both be Ringo. What,
great.
John?
Oh, I just got back to New York after being I was on the road for the whole week, so I just got back, and I'm finally uploading my photos. So I've got some great pictures of you with Alan Grayson and Nicole Sandler from the show that'll be posted on the website later on today.
Awesome. Thank you, John Fugelsang.
Thank you.
All right, yeah, and there are some great listener photos up already
in
Fort Lauderdale at Sexy Liberal Facebook and sexyliberal.com. Oh, this is kind of an ominous letter about one of the upcoming shows, Seattle, which will be my birthday, September 29th, at the Patapound.
Yes.
Andy in L.A. writes, uh-oh. Be careful in Seattle. As someone who writes about Hollywood history, your announcement that Sexy Liberal will be playing Seattle's Paramount Theater in September of 2012 got me thinking. These are some historical Sexy Liberal fun facts.
Okay. Can I play them with the scary music underneath them? Or
I can't decide which one to go with.
Scary music.
I'm going to go with scary.
Yeah, okay.
1931, teenage Sexy Liberal aspiring actress, alcoholic Frances Farmer is hired as an usher at the Paramount Theater
in
Seattle.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
1936, the premiere of Sexy Liberal aspiring actress, alcoholic Frances Farmer's first big budget film, Come and Get It, is held at the Paramount Theater in Seattle.
Wow.
1942, Sexy Liberal actress Frances Farmer suffers a highly publicized massive nervous breakdown, blamed in part on too much alcohol and work-related stress.
Wow.
You're Frances Farmer.
It's
amazing. Maybe Jessica Lange will play you in a movie.
It gets better. Yeah. 1981, Sexy Liberal actress Jessica Lange films the recreation of the premiere of Come and Get It at the Paramount here in Seattle for the film Frances. 2011, Sexy Liberal talk show host aspiring alcoholic Stephanie Miller offends Sexy Liberal actress Jessica Lange by complimenting her on her performance in Frances, which is now almost 30 years old. Yes, that did. That happened a few weeks ago when I was hiking.
Wow.
I was dumbstruck. I didn't know what else to say. I just went, I love Frances. 2012, the Sexy Liberal Show will perform at the Paramount Theater in Seattle. I'm not saying a highly publicized breakdown from overwork and too much alcohol is imminent. It's just interesting how the threads history often intertwine.
Yes. Jessica Lange may have to replace you on the Sexy
Liberal Show. Yeah, exactly.
After sold-out performances in 2011, the Emerald City is about to experience a new dose of hilarity in 2012.
Welcome back, Seattle.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour returns to Seattle.
No, I've never been to Conaguin for that sort of self-congratulatory hoopla.
September 29, 2012, Seattle welcomes the return of Stephanie Miller.
The greatest radio talk show host ever.
John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks, this time to the plush and historic Paramount Theater, which has hosted live performances by Ella Fitzgerald and the Marx Brothers. Welcome Stephanie Miller.
I want you to meet a very charming lady.
And it's about time.
And her special brand of sexy liberal comedy. Tickets are available by calling 1-877-STG-4TIX. That's 1-877-784-4849. Saturday, September 29th at 8 p.m.
What a festive day this is.
The Sexy Liberal Show at the historic Paramount Theater in Seattle.
Good night, Seattle. We love you.
Nice.
All right.
You know, Nirvana wrote a song called Frances Farmer Will Have Her Revenge on Seattle, and this show could be it.
John, I don't know if you know the story. I literally was hiking near my house and ran into her a few weeks ago, and I was literally dumbstruck, and that's all I could think of, because I actually was...
Miss Frances.
I had just that day been talking... Remember, I made a Frances in one of my ancient movie references.
And what is his daughter's name? Frances.
I made a Frances reference on the air, and so I said that to her. I was like, oh, my God, I'm just talking about you on the radio today. I love Frances. And she's like...
Not a funny movie.
Oh,
as a comedy, that film fails on every level. I want to point out.
Although she was just nominated for a Golden Globe for American Horror Story, and
she's
well deserved.
I should have, if my Rolodex is working better, I could have thought of Grey Gardens, something a little more current. Something.
She was great in Grey Gardens too.
She's great. She's awesome.
Oh.
Sam Shepard lives in my neighborhood, so I see the two of them together sometime. I sat next to them in a Thai restaurant once, and I was just drooling the whole time. I was like, right next to her, and they're still together. They met on Frances, and they're still still together.
Yeah,
that's so unusual. I live in Hollywood, and I still have celebrity gummy brain. I'm like,
she's someone you would get gummy about. I mean, you know, you live in Hollywood, you see celebrities all the time, and you laugh like, oh, that clown's famous. But then there's a few people that you see, and it's just
the only
dumbstruck.
Reason, as you know, John, anyone ever talks to me because you've walked with my dogs with me in New York is because of the dogs. So they
true.
They go, oh my God, your dogs are so. I was talking to her, and then I was like, like I was in mid-sentence because she's like, oh, your dogs are beautiful. Couldn't my kids, you know, pet them? I was like, why, yes.
It's Frances.
Yes, it's Frances.
Yeah. I loved that movie. It was 30 years ago. Oh, at least you didn't reference King Kong.
And you can see, like, the fear. You can see the fear in Hillary's eyes when they realize that you've realized who they are.
Yeah.
And you're going to, it's like, here we go.
Oh, it's one of those.
Jeez. Okay.
Well, next time you'll bring up a more recent film like Crimes of the Heart or something like that.
All right, you want to know who's more pathetic, John, is Roland, Sexy Liberal Tour Director.
Oh, no.
Who is literally in a gay frenzy as we speak. Because, did you see this? Oh, my God, you know how when someone's totally geeking out, he took a picture with his iPhone.
Yeah.
And sent it to me? A messenger, this is like his life. A messenger just arrived at his house. This was yesterday. I just received this via messenger from Stephen Sondheim, who has confirmed the tickets for the Chicago show.
Are we allowed to talk about
this?
Okay, good.
Okay, yes.
I'm geeking out over this. Marcus Bachman would be so jealous. Stephen Sondheim sent him the I made a hat.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
It's the collected lyrics of Stephen Sondheim.
Wow.
Yeah, he's confirmed.
Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Yes, and it says, look, I made a hat. Thank you, Roland. See you in Chicago. What is that? I can't read it. He has bad handwriting.
Sexy liberal Stephen Sondheim?
Sexy Stephen Sondheim. Sondheim, but that's what he said as a joke. Oh,
my
look,
God.
I'm so excited.
I'm super. Thank you for asking. I considered I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're. Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Yes. John, people say, now I know what I'm getting you for Christmas, and I'm getting you a dance belt because.
Thank you.
I feel Sexy Liberal the Musical.
That's
right. 2012.
I can't wait for my dance belt. That's fantastic. Yes. I had a dance belt before thongs were in. With my Capizio shoes.
Send in the clowns, indeed.
I'm trying to make that out. See you in Chicago. Yeah, it's March 3rd.
Right.
Okay.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's the story of this tour. We really made a hat. Yeah. And that's a reference that only heterosexual musical theater lovers will get.
And don't we look cute in this hat? Yes.
Mm.
Indeed. All right. Oh, Jim, speaking of Speaking of gay, someone sent this to you yesterday. I don't know how we got onto. Do we have my Hollywood Squares music?
Well,
we got onto Paul Lynn for some reason, as I do, John, because I thought he was going to marry.
Who hasn't?
Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to marry him when I was a tot watching Hollywood Squares. So we have some actual dialogue from Hollywood Squares.
Yes, this is
really.
From an album which I still possess. I have nothing to play it on. But
wow.
It's Peter Marshall and Paul Lynn.
All right,
Paul, can you get an elephant drunk? Yes, but he still won't go up to your apartment. Will a goose help warn you if there's an intruder on your property? There's no better way. Diamonds should not be kept with your family jewels. Why? They're so cold. Paul, why do Hell's Angels wear leather? Because chiffon wrinkles too easily. Paul, according to the French chef Julia Child, how much is a pinch? Just enough to turn her on. In The Wizard of Oz, the lion wanted courage and the Tin Man wanted a heart. What did the Scarecrow want? He wanted the Tin Man to notice him. It is the most abused and neglected part of your body. What is it? Mine may be abused, but it certainly isn't neglected.
Oh, my God. You're allowed to say that in daytime television.
Was that a rub one abused. Out joke on the Hollywood Squares? Wow. Oh. All right, thank you. Who sent us that? Chris at Yankton, thank you very much. I don't know how you had that.
Wow,
thank you.
Very brilliant.
That was delightful. All right.
I'll work on my George Gobel impression for next week.
All right, good. 17 minutes after the hour.
Or Joseph Goebbels, close enough.
Yeah. Back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. The Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you by Vulture's Picnic, the new book by the man Catherine Harris calls Twisted and Maniacal.
Yes.
That's Greg Palast. Yes. You must have Greg Palast's Vulture's Picnic. Get the first chapter free at vulturespicnic.org or gregpalast.com. That's P-A-L-A-S-T.
Yay! Yay! 23 minutes after the hour, we continue Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours. A very exciting Sexy Liberal announcement coming up in, about 40 minutes.
Oh.
Mwah, 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 mwah. hard to be as entertaining as the yet another Republican debate last night.
It was kind of boring, I thought.
I didn't. Yeah. It was great.
There
it was
no
a great
fireworks
one.
Or anything.
Oh, sure there were. Ron Paul and Michelle Bachmann got into it. It's everybody trying to destroy Ron Paul and everybody trying to pick on Gingrich. It was really an interesting one, I thought.
By the way, you know where I got my opposition research against Ron Paul today?
Where?
Okay.
Listening to Sean Hannity yesterday.
Uh-huh. The entire Fox primetime lineup. Greta Van Susteren went after him this week.
Yeah. Wow.
I literally was like, I had to check the dial on my radio. I was like, am I listening to, because they don't obviously want him. So Sean Hannity was talking about how racist he is. I'm like,
wow.
Sean Hannity was talking about the newsletters in the 80s.
Yeah.
Greta Van Susteren was talking out of both sides of her mouth.
Hey! Oh!
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 Oh! Lord,
that's a problem with her mouth.
Now.
Oh, it's Kristen Wiig I'm thinking of. Okay.
All right.
If O.J. hadn't killed those people, none of us would know what a Greta Van Susteren is. I want to point that out. It's Kardashian karma.
Kardashian.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like this is what happens. Like the Herman Cain's, anybody that becomes like even a semi-front runner, there's not that much scrutiny until they get up there, and
right.
Then people go, "Oh, wait a minute."
Ooh, ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. But New York Magazine. I love the headline. News bulletin, Ron Paul's a huge racist. I mean, we've heard this. It's just there hadn't been a lot of... Because nobody thinks he has a chance, they just didn't do a lot of scrutiny.
Exactly.
But even Sean Hannity was saying it's kind of unbelievable that the Ron Paul newsletter, which is incredibly racist, had nothing to do with any of his views.
I'm not racist, just that black people give me the willies. That's all.
You know what I loved? Is listening to one of Ron Paul's supporters call Hannity and give him...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, welcome to my world.
They don't come and heckle Hannity on stage either.
I bet. Yeah, right, exactly.
We got heckled by a Ron Paul guy in clown makeup in San Francisco. That's how surreal our life is.
Oh, that's right. He yelled at me, Obama's a war criminal, elect Ron Paul. Yeah. And I offered him some pot brownies that someone had given me to chill.
I was actually following a car in today that had not one, not two, but three Ron Paul stickers along the back bumper.
Well, you might want to listen to the fun facts then. This is from, New York Magazine. Worth pointing something out, Ron Paul is not a kindly old libertarian who wants everybody to be free. He's a really creepy bigot.
Yeah.
His newsletter, which he wrote and edited for years, was a constant organ of vile racism and homophobia. It's not just picking a phrase here and there. Fear and hatred of blacks and gays, along with a somewhat less pronounced paranoia about Jewish dual loyalty, are fundamental elements of his thinking. The most comparable figure to Paul is Pat Buchanan.
Oh, wow.
The main difference being that it's the same thing. Like, you're like, oh, Pat Buchanan's just a cranky old man.
A relic from another time.
Sure.
Kindly old codger.
They're saying the only difference is...
A fixture at Thanksgiving tables everywhere.
Oh, yes.
A lovable Nixon speechwriter.
Oh, crampy. Paul emphasizes economic issues more, but that is being the only difference, New York Magazine says, Paul is correctly considered to have no chance to actually win the GOP nomination, so debate and moderators have not bothered to research his past. Yeah, we had heard about this last go-round, but have you guys actually read some of this stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, well, first of all, it's the Ron Paul Political Report. So I know this the Paul supporter was not handing it going, well, he didn't, you don't know he wrote it, you know, he didn't edit it, you don't know that he didn't.
His
name's on it.
He didn't write it, he just distributed it to the masses.
Yeah. One published in June 1992, again, got this from Hannity. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sean. Dedicated to explaining the L.A. riots that year, he said, he writes, order was only restored in L.A. when it came time for the blacks to pick up their welfare checks 3 days after the rioting began.
Still, I love his wife's fish sticks. So that's...
Yes. Uh-huh. According to the newsletter, better than a Christine O'Donnell endorsement.
Yeah, well,
according to
that's damning with faint praise.
According to the newsletter, the looting was a natural byproduct of government indulging the black community with, quote, civil rights.
Indulging them.
Yeah. It also denounced, quote, unquote, the media for believing that, quote, America's number one need is an unlimited white checking account for underclass blacks.
What?
June 1991, an entry on racial disturbances in Washington, D.C. was titled Animals Take Over D.C. Zoo.
Wow.
In an October 1992 item about urban crime, the newsletter's author, presumably Paul, wrote, I've urged everyone in my family to know how to use a gun in self-defense for the animals are coming. The newsletter inveighed against liberals who, quote, want to keep white America from taking action against black crime and welfare. The newsletters were particularly obsessed with AIDS, a politically protected disease thanks to payola and the influence of the homosexual lobby.
Mm.
Let's see. Readers were warned to avoid blood transfusion because gays were trying to poison the blood supply.
Jeez.
Am I the only one sick of hearing about the rights of AIDS carriers, the newsletter asked in 1990. That same year, an item suggested the AIDS patient should not be allowed to eat in restaurants and that AIDS can be transmitted by saliva. The slight complicating factor is that Paul's newsletter was unsigned, so even though it purported to express his views, he can plausibly deny having authored any single passage personally, but the general themes of white racial paranoia are so completely pervasive, the notion that they don't represent his own views are completely implausible.
Yeah, and we thought Ross Perot was crazy.
It's the only time I've gotten...
right about NAFTA.
It's the only time I've gotten my show prep from Sean Hannity.
Is there anything cuter than Sean Hannity? Sean Hannity outraged about right-wing racism for the first time in his life.
Yeah. Oh, it was so exciting.
I'm shocked that this thing goes on.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Stephanie Miller.
They're all on TV this week.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This is very exciting. You know, we've been, John Fugelsang, in fact, has been to, I believe, pretty much every Occupy in every city we've been
yes,
at, right?
All 900 worldwide I've been to.
They have been officially John Fugelsang occupied.
Yeah, I've been to about nine of them. Yeah.
I went in San Francisco, I went in Austin. But anyway, a lot of, you know, as we've been saying, John, it's you can't evict an idea whose time has come. And a lot of people are trying to, you know, whether it's Elizabeth Warren or Alan Grayson, who we just hung with, there's a lot of people that have been fighting this We Are the 99% movement for a long time. I wanted to talk to Representative Ted Deutsch of the great state of Florida,
that's
where
right.
we just were, about his idea. Hello, Representative. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I want to talk about you have an amendment called Occupied, constitutional amendment banning corporate money in elections and declaring corporations are not people. Tell us about that and how yours differs from some other stuff out there.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on. I wonder if John's been to Occupy Delray or Occupy Lake Worth. I'd have to invite him down to those.
Okay.
I'm going to be in Occupy Jacksonville very shortly, and I'd love to come visit the other ones.
You're getting close. I'd be happy to. Listen, first of all, the whole idea behind this is that if you think about it, and John, you probably know better than anyone, given all of your travels, all of the ideas that are being espoused by the Occupy movement, focusing on income inequality and massive student loan debt and financial irregularities that almost brought down our economy, all of those issues, the fact that right now the article came, I saw an article yesterday, almost half of Americans are living in poverty.
Yep.
Those are the things we should be talking about in Washington. But at the same time that all those folks are occupying cities all over America, corporations continue to occupy Washington and our state capitals. That's why we're not having the debates that we need to. This amendment would end corporate personhood. It makes clear what I think Stephanie, you and all of your listeners and most right-thinking people would think, that corporations were never given the same protections in the Constitution that were meant for you and me. Number two, it says that since corporations aren't people, they can be regulated by Congress. To help,
right.
help people, consumer safety issues, health and safety, consumer protection. Number three, it's the only amendment that's been introduced that says very clearly for-profit corporations cannot use their money to influence the outcome of elections. And then finally, it gives Congress the authority to limit campaign contributions and expenditures so that we can have a rational campaign finance system that takes the power away from the Koch brothers and Karl Rove and gives it back to the American people.
And this is obviously, this is known as the Sanders-Deutsch Agreement because it's being introduced in the Senate by Senator Bernie Sanders, correct?
That's right. I introduced this just about a month ago, and Senator Sanders has never introduced a constitutional amendment, but he spent some time looking at what we've been doing, and I think he came to understand he knows the importance of this issue. Obviously, he's been a champion for years. But he knows, like I think most people are realizing, that after Citizens United, the only way we can really change this is to amend the Constitution, and that's what we're trying to do.
Wow. Are you calling it the Patriotic Sanity Bill?
Yeah.
Only if you can turn that into an acronym for something.
You know, I mean, again, it sort of couldn't be clearer this particular year, could it, Congressman, in politics, when you have Mitt Romney literally saying corporations are people, my friend. I mean, you know, because a lot of times people like to go, oh, you know, both parties are the same and there's so much money in politics. I mean, that's true, but that's exactly what this is addressing, right, is getting corporate money out of politics and declaring, no, Mitt Romney, corporations are not people, right?
Right, that's exactly right. And a lot of people, if you talk to people who don't think about these issues as much as all of us might, they thought that was almost a joke. Like, of course corporations aren't people. Nobody really thinks that. But look at what Mitt Romney's just done. It's not just that he believes corporations are people. He needs to, because he's got this super PAC that's raising millions, tens of millions of dollars in huge chunks from corporations to fund his presidential campaign. That would end if we pass the Occupy Amendment, or the Saving American Democracy Amendment, as Senator Sanders likes to call it, and pull this money, get this corporate money out of politics once and for all.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that, well, I don't know what your take on the Republican primary is, but it looks like, once again,
I don't take much.
I think that says it all. But, you know, it is interesting that, you know, again, I suppose it changes day by day, but, you know, from yesterday even, I'm hearing people saying that it looks like Mitt Romney is still going to, you know, Gingrich still seems to be, you know, already seems to be fading in the polls. And he is like the face of what you're fighting against, isn't he?
Now, look, if you remember the last election, what was most disgusting to people was just the constant flood of corporate money that launched all of these disgusting, malicious attacks. And they could do it because no one knew who it was. And they didn't have to disclose any of the information, and they were free to spend all of their money. Now, Karl Rove and these other groups have announced it already. They've announced that they're going to spend at least $500 million to influence the outcome of the election. It's all going to come from corporations. We're not going to know who they are. And it just makes people so cynical, even more than they already are, about the process. That's why it's got to change.
Yep, absolutely. Representative, really great stuff, and just really wanted to talk to you about it and get that out there. It is called HJ Resolution 90, the Occupied Amendment, correct?
It is, and people can learn more about it at theoccupiedamendment.org. The text is there, an explanation of each of the provisions, and we hope they'll sign the petition and Facebook it. And this is a heavy lift, but it's not just a bill we're trying to pass. It's really a movement that we're all tapping into to try to restore some sanity to our democracy.
And, Representative, it's something, as you know, from all the polling, that, you know, what is it, 70, 80% of the American people are behind. They, you know, they do not like the Citizens United decision. And, you know, God bless you for trying to do something to ameliorate that. Representative Ted Deutsch of the great state of Florida, thanks so much, Representative.
My pleasure. Great being on. Thanks.
You too. All right. Bye-bye now. Here's the good news, John, is that whatever his opinion was, I'm sure Mitt Romney, it'll change. Or his latest endorser, Christine O'Donnell, would say.
You know, that's one of the things that I like about him, because he's been consistent since he changed his mind.
I've been super consistent ever since I changed my mind.
I loved hitting on her so much.
She's precious.
The best thing is last night how Mitt Romney, I think the most key part was when he talked about what Obama's going to throw at him, which is that a lot of your businesses failed. And he was saying, Mr. President, sometimes businesses just fail. You don't know that because you're not in business, but sometimes they just fail. Except Solyndra, that's evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, by the way, you know where he shops, don't you?
Tiffany's.
Yeah. Tim writing, is Tiffany's anywhere near the Hustler store? Talk about your strip mall.
Yeah, he's more like that kind of like really douchey manager of the Polo Club gift shop, you know? That's how Mitt comes off. But it was the Congress makes a lot of great points, and if I could really briefly, here's a quote from Teddy Roosevelt, his State of the Union address to America in 1902. We are not attacking the corporations, but endeavoring to do away with any evil in them. We are not hostile to them. We are merely determined that they shall be so handled as to subserve the public good. We draw the line against misconduct, not against wealth. Teddy Roosevelt, Republican president, 1902.
Thank you.
Republicans are still progressive.
He already gave you the quote, Jim. You don't have to guess. We already got it.
Yes, sorry. Paul Lind.
No. Peter Marshall, no. All right. Last night at the debate, Nudie.
It's sort of laughable to suggest that somebody who campaigned with Ronald Reagan and with Jack Kemp and has had a 30-year record of conservatism is somehow not a conservative.
Yeah. He doesn't take his IMs.
Yeah, their end of time signal was also the AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah, it was like a little xylophone or something. I was like, is this supposed to be, that was a stupid Kalimba point, or you're almost done?
No, you got your IM. That's what it was.
Yes, your green light's on.
Yeah.
You have an instant message, you're wrong.
Go invisible, Newt, go invisible. That's where Newt said he believed in freedom and that atheists shouldn't be allowed to be judges. I love the guy.
Oh, dear God, Newty.
I have never once change my positions because of any kind of payment, because the truth is I was a national figure who was doing just fine.
I know, we remember. $60,000 a speech.
Yeah,
they're so endearing themselves to the common man, aren't they?
Well, I love how he brags that he raised taxes. I mean, I love how he brags that he balanced the budget for all those years, and he said it is in his first opening speech last night. He said that he balanced the budget for 6 years. It could have been eight, but he was also balancing soulmates at the same time. But every time he admits that he and Bill Clinton raised taxes on the wealthy to balance that budget, I will make out with Ron Jeremy. That's my pledge to you.
Really?
Yes, I will kiss Ron Jeremy every time Newt admits he did that by raising taxes on the rich. And
at a sexy liberal show, so Mama can make a little bank on that?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
He's America's sweetheart, and I'm ready.
God.
So I'm always thinking, how does this benefit me?
Yeah.
By the way, we'll talk about, somebody did an analysis of Gingrich's tax plan. It is really awful.
Yeah.
I mean, it is beyond. Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich's tax plan is so extreme and so unfair to the middle class, it's almost impossible to believe it comes from a serious presidential candidate
from
a major political party, according to pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
but economists, whoever. For starters, it would cut taxes for the super wealthy by so much that the normal adjectives dramatically, massively, enormously don't even apply. Mm-hmm. The plan would result in the lowest levels of federal revenue in 70 years, and it would lead to perpetual trillion-dollar deficits and an exploding national debt. Thank you, Newty.
So it is Reagan-esque.
Right. Yeah, I'll give you, be back with more details on that. 45 minutes after the hour, we continue Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, that is like magic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Hello?
Yes?
Swallow.
You know it's a liberal show because I have arugula on my teeth.
You do.
Look, you scream. Okay. Kids, join Bill Maher for the filming of his new comedy special, Bill Maher Live from Silicon Valley, February 23rd at San Jose Center for the Performing Arts. Tickets on sale today at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.
Yes.
All Yay.
Right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, 50 minutes after the hour. It's Buddy in Columbus, everybody. Hi, Buddy.
Hey, Guten Morgen, Fräulein Steph. Zwei Westmucks und ein Ostmuck, Herr John.
Wow. That's foreign.
Zoinks.
Jawohl.
Hey, I've got two things. One is on endorsements, and the second thing is that Romney's a douche. I mean, his endorsements are so crazy.
Nikki Haley. He's got the big Nikki Haley. Everybody, it's all over now. He's got the big Nikki Haley endorsement.
Well, you've got Christine O'Donnell and Gary Busey. The only thing they're waiting for is that big Chuck Norris endorsement coming down.
Oh, exactly. You remember how well that did for Huckabee.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the second thing, Mama, is Mitt Romney is now running around talking about we should bomb Iran because they got that down drone.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honest to be, we just got out of a war in that part of the world, Mitt. You know, you want more? And by the way, what are we doing flying drones over Iran anyway? I mean, if Iran was flying drones over the United States, I think we'd be pretty salty with that.
Exactly right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, buddy.
And even if Iran got a nuclear weapon, Israel has about 200. There's no way they could ever use it. Oh, no. It's just absurd.
Well, this is why Ron Paul got booed last night, because he really took him on. Ron Paul's the only guy to talk about the fact that Iran used to have a democratically elected government until our CIA helped overthrow him.
Right.
Yeah,
and MI6 and stuff.
And they were saying, yeah, you're right, Jim. And Brett Baer brought up last night, but Iran is running training missions right on the Gulf, and he's like, well, sure, because we're all on TV talking about bombing them every day. What do you expect them to do?
Ron Paul.
What is the whole world about the drone being in Iran? And we're begging and pleading, and how are we going to start a war to get this drone back? Why were we flying a drone over Iran? Yeah. Why do we have to bomb so many countries? Why are we in have 900 bases, 130 countries, and we're totally bankrupt? How are you going to rebuild the military when we have no money? How are we going to take care of the people?
He's so right half the time.
Why don't we just send black people to get it?
No!
What'd I say?
Well,
we have to bomb them because we're the Christians.
As Voltaire said, the beast is vicious. When attacked, it defends itself.
Yeah.
Beasts are vicious, too.
Beasts, they're vicious. They're bitchy. Beasts are bitchy.
That's right.
Eric in California. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
I got a thing my brother and I was talking about when Citizens United came out. If we believe that a company, if they fall into that category, then shouldn't they be dissolved? Because people die. And I mean, like, I smoke and drink, so my life's bad, it's going to be that long. So gross polluters, they should be disbanded even quicker.
Huh? Say that one more time.
You know how people die.
Yes.
We would all live forever. Well, if a company has the rights as a person, then they need to be dissolved.
Sure.
You can't have a person who lives forever. It just doesn't
make sense.
Okay, so this is a Citizens United.
After 70 or 80 years, they should be buried.
Wow.
Alive if need be.
It was Friday, and he talked about drinking, and I was distracted. I'm sorry. All right. Three quarters of Americans think the 1% has too much power. A new poll from Pew. Yeah, it's Friday. Okay.
Lady Kishushu.
When asked about directly about the belief that sparked the 99% movement, the rich have too much power and influence in the country. Americans of all political stripes largely agree.
Who cares what they think? What do the corporations think?
77% say there is too much power in the hands of a few rich people and large corporations in the U.S. Republican lawmakers who have decried the movement, as you know, may be shocked by these numbers, but given their policies have increased prosperity for the 1% while driving half of Americans either into poverty or low-income status, they probably shouldn't be shocked, but I guess they are.
You're saying 77% of Americans are un-American.
Exactly.
That's my point.
That's why Republicans suppress the vote.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here is Mittens last night at the debate. Oh, sorry, wrong number.
Oh, yeah,
Mittens
okay.
last night at the debate. Don't be
confused. How'd you do when you were running General Motors as the president? I believe to create jobs, it helps to have created jobs.
You ship jobs overseas
I created
and broke
jobs
companies
in China.
Up.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How did Obama do as head of General Motors? He rescued the auto industry, and they paid us back. And now
with interest.
With interest, and now they're doing great. What?
Failure. Failure, failure.
How did he do? He did great. He did spectacularly
well. How many companies did he break up and send to China and India? Mm-hmm. I ask you.
Yeah, no. Oh, is that a failure that he didn't break up all the car companies and ship all the jobs overseas? Is that what he's...
I love it when people who are seeking a government job say government can't create jobs.
Yeah.
Is it just hilarious every time?
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Mitt Romney, you can't not think of Polo Club when he speaks.
I know. He. Oh, by the way, he has a new explanation for his flip-floppiness. He now has finally admitted that he flip-flops. Because, first of all, it's because it's a 17-year career. Political career. Wait a minute. I thought he was an outsider. I thought he was not a political...
That was yesterday.
Yes.
So
his
he flip-flopped on that he is a career politician now. He admits he flip-flopped during a 17-year political career. Let's see. He was on Hannity's radio show. He candidly admitted he has changed his positions on multiple issues, explaining it was inevitable because he's been running for office for, quote, over 17 years.
For Pete's sake.
Noting his initial positions were adopted when he ran against the nation's leading liberal, Ted Kennedy. That's exactly what we were saying, is you see, you have no core principles or positions of any kind.
Yes, I do. No doubt. I do not.
But his opinions do prove evolution exists.
Oh, boy.
I liked when Newt Gingrich last week came out and said, well, yeah, you haven't been a career politician because you lost so many elections.
Yeah, exactly. You would have
been
if you hadn't, if you won. By the way, so Rudy Giuliani, Mitt is a world-class flip-flopper.
Oh.
I guess he's a bit of a nudie fan.
Huh.
I guess he likes fellow nasty adulterers. Rudy Giuliani unleashed a blistering attack on Mitt Romney, saying he's never seen anyone change positions on core issues as often or as quickly as the Massachusetts governor. I ran against him in 07 and 08. I've never seen a guy change his position so many times so fast on a dime. I think that's a great vulnerability. What will Barack Obama do to that? What Barack Obama will do with that is say, this is a man without a core, a man without substance, a man that will say anything to become president of the United States. Thank you, Rudy.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's a column in truthout.org, 10 things Newt Gingrich doesn't want you to know about him, showing all of his flip-flops.
He's just as flip-floppy, just nastier and more adultery.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. By contrast, Giuliani glowingly compared former Speaker Gingrich to Ronald Reagan.
Well, there you go again.
Giuliani said he was defending Gingrich as a candidate in this imperfect world. Meaning, he's a nasty adulterer just like him.
Right.
And maybe also reacting to everybody coming after Newt. It's getting ridiculous. Like
in a perfect world, I wouldn't have a lisp. Because it makes me sound like a cartoon character.
In a perfect world, you wouldn't sound like Lester, would you? No, you would not.
You're despicable.
Or Daffy Duck.
Whatever. I'm thinking that's what it is, right? Oh my God! In fact, Rudy Giuliani had an entire book about him called "Nasty Man." Like Newt Gingrich, "Nasty Man," serial adulterer.
Well, Newt's mad about the Nikki Haley endorsement because he thought he had the adulterer vote locked up.
Yeah, Nikki Haley went to Romney, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, Rick Perry, is the little dumber boy still in this?
There are a lot of people out there. I understand it. You know, there are a lot of folks that said Tim Tebow wasn't going to be a very good NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. There are people that stood up and said, well, he doesn't have the right throwing mechanisms, or he doesn't, you know, he's not playing the game right. And, you know, he won two national championships, and that looked pretty good. We were the national champions in job creation back in Texas.
What?
And so, but am I ready for the next level?
Ooh.
Let me tell you, I hope I am the Tim Tebow of the Iowa caucuses.
Ooh.
Tim Tebow got Jesus on his side.
That's a dog whistle to the evangelicals.
Uh-huh. Oh, but I got to tell you all, the coherent Tim Tebow analogy worked really good in rehearsal.
58 minutes after the hour, back with a huge,
huge
sexy liberal announcement next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. Welcome to Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours.
Yeah. Brr. It's cold here, LA people.
SexyLiberal.com is the website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook and on Twitter. Why, John, what are the chances? I got this just yesterday from Rosalind in LA. Steph, I'm a big fan in LA, but I work two jobs and I'm too busy to go to the Sexy Liberal show in person. Will you ever have it available as an album?
What?
I would be the first one to buy it. Well, Rosalind, you better hurry!
In April 2011, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour launched in Madison, Wisconsin. Since then, over 18,000 fans have experienced this year's hottest, most acclaimed, and sought-after live comedy show.
Oh, yeah!
Just in time for the holidays, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is proud to announce this December surprise. The release of Volume 1 of their live tour album, featuring John Fugelsang.
When they go teabagging, it's a couple of big mouths controlling all the nuts.
Hal Sparks.
Take care of yourselves. Take care of somebody else.
And Stephanie Miller.
Oh, babies, who's ready to get their sexy on with mama?
Go to iTunes today and download Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, the show that fans call hysterical, inspiring, uplifting, motivating, and filthy.
We love you, sexy liberals. Good night.
This holiday season, stuff someone's stocking with Stephanie Miller and have a very sexy liberal new year.
Woohoo!
Yeah!
Yay!
Oh, John, they gave away my whole act. That's it. Welcome and good night. Damn it.
Oh, it's so great to finally announce this.
It's very, very exciting. So it's on iTunes, yep. And you can give it as a gift. If you
yes,
just,
you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, just follow the Give Us a Gift link.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're not into Apple, it is already available as a download-only form on Amazon.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, just even if you look at the title tracks alone, it's worth buying, isn't it, John?
It's really fun. It's from our second night in L.A., but it could be from any town. And it's Stephanie's set, my set, Hal's set, in their entirety. They're broken up. The flow is really, really cool. And it's sort of like an audio documentary of what the show is like. And it's tremendously funny and deeply inappropriate. You will get fired from your job if awesome. You play it too loud.
Awesome. Yeah, their track titles like Welcome, Sexy Liberals. Here's a picture of my vajayjay. Hal's Backwoods Ambassador. What's one of yours? I can't remember.
I'm looking at. We've got I got the Knights of the Trickle Down Table.
There you go.
Clang, clang, clang went Marcus Bachman.
That's mine.
Jesus, the GOP, and teabagging, of course.
That's you. Yeah.
Bull semen spill. Yes,
yeah,
bull
Hal.
Semen spill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was the best to write to Hal and say, Hal, what do you want this track to be called? And he said, call it bull semen spill.
Yeah, we named our own tracks. One of mine is My Mom's Bird Masturbates to Fox News, and by the way, I'm a big gay. So it's
and I've got my Chris Matthews Discusses the 2012 GOP Field is on this bit, on this album as well.
Which is brilliant. It's magic. All right, so get it. Go get it now. People have been asking for this for a long time, so it is finally... By the way, John, I don't even know how this stuff happens. It wasn't announced till right this second. We're already, as of yesterday, number 7 on the iTunes.
Yes.
That might go up as of this announcement.
Get us
right
the
now.
Number one, everybody.
Yes, please go buy it. It's only $9.99 on iTunes. You can give it as a gift. And, the more we can show a show called The Sexy Liberal Tour succeeding in capitalism, going to number one in iTunes comedy charts, the better your future will be.
Right when Ken's exploding across America. All right. And by the by, kids, check out the schedule. Get your tickets now. They're going fast. Portland, first stop in 2012. I'm going to go on the King of Portland show today, Tom Hartman.
Yay.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, January 7th in Portland. Then we got Philly coming up February 4th. Phoenix, of course, in February. Chicago, March 3rd. Albuquerque, March 31st. Madison, April 14th. Minneapolis in May. Then we got Boston, L.A., Seattle. Check it out. Get your tickets. They're all going fast. Okay. Oh, I'm winded. the first segment. The big announcement has winded me.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Do you need some oxygen or an aspirin or something?
I need some Right Wing World. Let's dive in.
Really?
Yeah, let's dive into the Right Wing World, see what's doing. Oh, gambling Bill Bennett. We haven't heard from him. He still has a radio show?
Apparently. Mm-hmm.
Well, awesome.
He was on Morning Joe talking, though.
Okay.
We certainly have four good men in American society, but we're not bringing out the best of them, and we're not encouraging the best. Take a look at the fall TV series, the sitcoms.
Yeah.
And the men in these sitcoms are not, nobody you'd...
Not manly.
Not manly. The only one that is Tim Allen.
I wonder if he's a Ron Paul supporter because of his racist views.
Because Bill Bennett's so former. Yeah.
I do know that it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime, mm-hmm. you could, if that were your sole purpose,
yes.
you could abort every black baby in this country and your crime rate would go down.
Nice. Mm. That is the former drug czar, Bill Bennett.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, he was a czar.
So that's the main problem facing America. We don't have enough manly men in our sitcoms.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's good.
Okay. Yeah. I can't wait for Chuck Norris's Modern Family.
I'm going to send him the gift set of Modern Family this Christmas, Phil Bennett.
Yeah. Ed O'Neill on that show is very, very masculine.
Yes. Okay. Whatever that means. Mary Madeline on the Situation Room.
Herman Cain is a good, earnest man, and he needs to stop fooling with the cynical smart set because they just play by different rules. They're going to keep toying with him.
Smart. You should stop toying with the smart people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cynical smart set. Stop talking to them. Keep toying with
him. Smart people know what Uzi Bekebekebe stand is, but I don't care.
Keep toying with them by asking them things like, what's your position on Libya?
Did she backhandedly say that he was kind of stupid?
Kind of dumb. Just stop talking to them.
The classic fascist move of demonizing intellectuals. It worked for the Khmer Rouge, worked for Dan Quayle.
Yeah. Talking tends to make you look stupid. Stop it. Okay, Glenn Beck.
Our media is so far out of control. It's obscene. It's obscene. It's damn near treasonous. The Arab Spring, that brought dignity to people who had never had it before. Sharia law is bringing dignity. Mm. How about to the Coptic Christians? How about to the women? That's bringing dignity? Dignity? You people are monsters. You really are. You people in the press are traitorous monsters to the dignity of free men. And history will be your...
And yet he was for the Iraq War.
Yeah, this is Glenn Beck losing his over Time magazine saying that protester is person of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his just losing it entirely. Well, yeah. Conservatives went insane, didn't they, over this?
Yeah, they did.
The protester.
He
compared the choice to Time's pick of Adolf Hitler and Mussolini in the 1930s.
It's great for so many reasons. First off, Glenn is part of the media. Secondly, Glenn's upset that we're not keeping our pro-American torturing dictator Hosni Mubarak in power. Thirdly, Egypt's whole economy is based on tourism. They're not going to start making women wear burqas over there anytime soon. And finally, the best part about these protests, if you're protesting Time making the protester the man of the year, you're now one of the man of the year because you're a protester. They're honoring you.
There you go, Glenn. See how we made that all about you? That was a little gift.
I'm too dumb to have cognitive dissonance.
It was a Christmas gift from Comedy Jesus to you. All right. Bill O'Reilly. Wow.
As we reported, the Occupy Wall Street radicals are not interested in a free exchange of ideas. They are totalitarians. It's their way of the highway, and that, of course, is dangerous. This week, Newt Gingrich appeared at the University of Iowa, and so did some occupiers. Now, Mr. Gingrich isn't alone. President Obama, Governor Christie of New Jersey, Karl Rove have all recently been shouted down by these idiots. But have you heard one condemnation of that from the far left? Just one? I haven't.
Well, you're assuming there is a far left in this country, first of all.
But it's impossible to be far left and totalitarian at the same time. Buy this man a dictionary.
Please. All right, and we end with Rush Limbaugh.
The whole education system has been corrupted. By liberalism, it's not even an education system anymore. It is an indoctrination, a series of indoctrination camps. And I know some of the teachers are activists, maybe more than I'd like to believe. They are legitimate liberal activists, disguised as teachers.
It's more of that liberal totalitarianism, my friends.
It's like hot ice.
Uh-huh.
It's like a furious at hot ice.
And Kesha music.
Oh, boy.
Scott in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Steph. Hello. I just wanted to say I am flattered that of all the shows that you picked to record, you picked the one that I was at.
Hooray! Yay! Saturday Night Los Angeles.
Exactly. And I have to admit, I have to tell everybody that listens to this, because I've already downloaded it, but I mean, all of those laughs, people, were from sober people, because in L.A., we did not have alcohol.
That's right.
Right?
Really?
Yeah. What are the chances?
All of those laughs are real, true, unalcoholed laughs.
Yeah, in fact, the guy that owns the show, Scott, was almost got us all booted out of the theater because he tried to sneak booze in.
This is true. Because the theater
that was Friday night.
Yeah, the theater that we were at was on the grounds of a federal veterans.
The VA campus.
Yeah, which is, the Wadsworth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're looking very much forward to July 28th at the Pantages where there is alcohol.
Because we're going
to
be blasting. All right, thank you, Scott.
For volume two, we're giving the audience free beer and meth.
Yeah, wait, where's my L.A. promo? We might as well play that. I forgot. You're absolutely right, John. I forgot the new album, Sexy Liberal Album, was recorded in Los Angeles last time. And listen, kids, in July, we'll be back.
In a world where everyone is going gaga for sexy liberal laughs, one tour is crossing the nation to bring intelligent progressive comedy to you. Nominated for 4 Pollstar Touring Awards, including Best Tour, Best New Tour, and Best Lead Comedy Performer, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to Los Angeles.
On Saturday, July 28th, Stephanie Miller and her band of sexy liberal players will perform live at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood, California.
Woo-hoo!
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, at all Ticketmaster retail outlets, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the proceeds from the evening's events will be donated to the Trevor Project.
Be swift and get your tickets now. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Don't miss your chance to experience liberal comedy history in the making.
Yay! We'll be drunk. Okay.
And there are various bars and nightclubs in that area.
And I can stumble there from my house. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Bugle Slang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
This hour of the Stupid Girl Show brought to you by Vulture's Picnic, the new book by Greg Palast, one of America's best investigative reporters and one of the funniest. You should read Vulture's Picnic. Get the first chapter free at vulturespicnic.org or gregpalast.com.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. By the way, that's garbage. Duke, the bass player, came to our very first ever Sexy Liberal show in Madison.
Very cool.
Oh, that's amazing.
They're a Madison band.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
By the way, we just made the big announcement, the Sexy Liberal announcement, that we are the album, Sexy Liberal, the album. Volume 1 is available right now on iTunes, only $9.99. What a gift to yourself or the Sexy Liberal of your life for holidays.
I think Shirley Manson's from Madison.
By the way, John,
it's not a Madison accent.
Speaking of big announcement day.
Yes?
Here at the Stephanie Miller Show. My friend Eileen just texted me, what's the big announcement? Are you pregnant?
God knows I've tried, Eileen. God knows I've tried.
Clearly not, since my eggs coming out sound like this. However, the other big announcement, John Fugelsang and his wife are pregnant.
Yes. Well, technically
yay.
She is, but
yay.
Well, he has something to do with it.
Well, I hope so as well. I said to her, I don't care if the baby's a boy or a girl as long as it comes out really white.
Yes.
That's all I really care about. This better be such a pasty albino. This baby better have red little rabies eyes, this baby.
Yes.
If this baby has any melanin, I'm taking her on Maury. But yes, I know it got sort of mentioned earlier in the week, so I'm happy to, unofficially announced that yes, I am reproducing.
Well, people are thinking it's a sexy liberal thing because Hal, as we know, just had a baby a while back, and now you guys. We want reports now if there have other sexy liberal babies been created like during the show, right after the show.
Has it been nine months since the first Madison show?
Not quite. Actually, I think it's damn close to it. I think January will be.
Wow.
Yeah, but we want to know how many babies have been conceived during the sexy liberal show.
Yes.
But yeah,
because
we're
a very open-minded audience. People don't care as long as you know you just you don't get any on them.
And,
they're fine.
You know, just put a towel down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Be polite.
Yeah.
Bring tarp.
Well, we've been together a long time, Charmy and me, and our friends all thought we'd made it. You know, they all thought we'd finally cleared it and weren't ever going to do this and reproduce. But it kind of just seemed like the right time. It was a crazy year, and everyone I knew died in 1 year, and we kind of thought let's do something really nice, and so we actually conceived on the Father's Day after my dad passed away. Yeah, I didn't even realize that, that it kind of worked out that way.
There cannot be enough sexy liberals in the world, John Fugelsang. It is your duty.
I am going to raise a righteous, woman-loving, gay-positive, progressive man, and that's why I'm doing it. And he's going to be a righteous... It's going to be just like Roots. I'm going to name him Kunta
Kinte. Wait a minute. Did you let something slip? You already know it's a boy?
Yes, it's already... It's going to be a boy.
Oh,
yay!
It's a baby! John, it's a baby bugle day! Thank God, because you know the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money. You know he's going to make me do this tour till I'm like 100, so your son will have to take over for you at some point.
That's the plan, yes. He's going to be our intern. And as soon as Maury tells me that it's actually my son, he'll be coming on a lot of tour dates.
Yeah, it'll look like Johnny Winter.
Yeah, it'll be Weekend at Steffi's, and they'll be probably, you know, Hal and John's kids will be out there with me, because they'll long ago retired. But the guy that owns the show, Mr. Potter, will never let me retire, ever.
Well, you were more dead than alive.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you. We're doing our part to destroy the institution of marriage from the inside.
Wait a minute. You said you're going to raise, you know, a positive, gay, you know, a progressive son. Mm-hmm. Well, not gay, but progressive son. What happens when he gets into his rebellion years? Is he going to
I've already got.
Oh, it'll be like Facts of Life. Yeah. What am I thinking?
Exactly. Yes. You know, he'll be like Lucas Haas, and everyone says, I love you, and now Alan Alda's a liberal father, and his son becomes a right-winger.
Right.
No.
Well,
he's going to have a little Archie Bunker.
we have it all planned. No, I've got it planned out. First off, Charmy's praying for a gay son. That's all she wants. So I'm going to do whatever I can.
So she can go shopping with him.
Exactly. I listened to a lot of musical theater when I was a kid. Didn't help me, but I'm going to do whatever I can to help this kid come out on the right side.
She's going to force him to like play with dolls. Put down that truck. Why won't you wear my clothes?
My entire strategy is from the time the kid's like 2 years old, I will say, when you turn 13 or 14, you're going to hate me and rebel against me and disobey everything I do. No, Daddy, I love you. You love me now, but wait till you see when you're an adolescent. You rebel. It's natural. You have to do it. And then when they get to that age, they'll be nice to me just to rebel. Out of spite, they'll behave themselves because they won't want to prove me right. So that's my entire strategy.
I'm just picturing right-wing heads exploding that are listening right now. Charmy forcing the boy to be gay. Why can't you do my hair? Oh. What's wrong with you?
Oh, mommy, that's our goal. In those shoes? I don't think so.
I'm going to go to Marcus Bachman's clinic just to learn how you cause a baby to be gay.
That's right.
Dave in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning. Congratulations on the soon-to-be-born baby. And
yeah. Thank you. Yeah, we're announcing a person and an album.
Yeah. But no, I just wanted to chime in a little bit about the debate last night. And I found it pretty interesting, Mitt Romney's position on when Newt Gingrich called him out about allowing businesses to fail, and that's the way it ought to be. But then they don't say much about Solyndra, and how is that such a negative? Mm-hmm. You know, just your hypocrisy is a joke.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So rare in a Republican debate.
So,
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
So will your baby be a download, or will it be a hard copy involved?
Nice!
You know, I'm still saying it. If it's white enough, it'll fetch a nice price in Tijuana, so I'm keeping all my options open.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays at Fugelsang. New daddy, soon to be, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'll go outside and make snow angels.
Lie face down, and your beautiful smile will be molded into the snow.
Okay.
Join Bill Maher for the filming of his new comedy special, Bill Maher Live from Silicon Valley, February 23rd at the San Jose Center for the Performing Arts. Tickets on sale today, 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.
Yay.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Susan in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Suze.
Good morning. Good morning. I just wanted to tell you that I've had the iTunes stuff for 2 days.
No.
No.
This is a leaky ship I captain here.
Well, it's your leaky ship. It was the sexy liberal ID on Facebook.
No! Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I know. It's there's a method to our madness.
We call the Facebook page Steffi Leaks.
Yeah.
we call John's
new baby a John Leak, but that's it's a Puba Leak. All right, go ahead,
hey,
Susan.
John, when are you due?
Actually in March I'm going to have a little Pisces kid, so I'll be living with two Pisces, so they'll both think I'm depressing and I'll think they're both shallow.
I also wanted to ask John if you've seen the Thinking Atheists video on To Xmas and Beyond on YouTube.
I haven't, but a lot of people have been telling me to check it out. I've actually been just watching a lot of Christopher Hitchens videos in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
Of course.
There's already a Twitter account. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, Hitch in Heaven.
Oh. Yeah. I know. Right now he's telling St. Peter, I don't believe in you. Where's my cigarettes?
No cigarettes in heaven. Come on. And no gin.
I haven't seen that yet. I haven't been on. But anyway, I saw both Seattle shows. I'm going to see. I already have my tickets for next year's Seattle show.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to try to make it to Portland. I haven't bought my ticket, but I may actually come down to Portland for that.
Susan, anyone that does not see at least 10 sexy liberal shows does not really love me.
Oh, I know.
Stop it.
Well,
but you know what? I'm going to give you a soda stream anyway. How about that?
Oh, yay. I'll be sitting close enough for it.
All right, no, I'm going to hang on. I'm going to give it to you right now, all right?
Oh, okay.
All right, yay!
Yay, soda stream!
Yay for step heads! Yay for step heads! All right, a free soda stream. It's delicious.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. This is, someone else already sent this to me. Jim says, Steph, I downloaded the Sexy Liberal album yesterday when I heard about it on Facebook.
Oh.
Why do you announce things 3 to 4 days after it's out on your Facebook page? I think someone needs to be fired for not letting you announce when it's actually announced. Get Siri on that. Let's see if I have any better luck firing Roland, who runs the Sexy Liberal Facebook page, than I've had firing you.
Okay.
Let's just see what Siri says.
Hold the speaker up to the...
I am.
All right.
Okay, where is the speaker?
It's on the bottom.
Uh-huh. Fire Roland Scahill.
Checking your current location.
What difference does it make where I am?
Place is matching speaker. 7 of them are fairly close to you.
Oh, you know what? You anti-choice whack.
Oh.
See, she's so passive-aggressive, she will not fire Chris LeVlatt either.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't believe in terminations.
Apparently.
Of all kinds,
all right. Will in Chicago, you're on the Steffi Miller Show. Hi, Will.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Hey, John, congratulations on copulating with your wife. That's very exciting news.
Oh, well,
go, John.
Thank you. It's
good
almost
job.
Almost as exciting as our album.
If you do purposely try to raise your son to be gay and he turns out to be straight, will this finally put to rest this whole nature versus nurture thing?
That's the only reason I'm having a child, is to just prove once and for all that that it's not a choice.
My advice to you is make sure you dress him as Liza Minnelli for every Halloween then.
I am, and I'm going to dress his little friends as David Guest. I'm doing the whole thing. I'm going all out on this kid.
By the way, John, I want to take credit because I'm pretty sure you guys were having sex in one of the bathrooms backstage at a sexy liberal show.
I kept
rapping on the door, and I think I may have helped, you know, because I think it helped focus you. It helped focus your attention.
There's a vicious, vicious rumor out there that may become legend that this child was conceived in the dressing room of the Chicago theater.
Yeah, because there's only one bathroom, and I had to and I had to go. John literally said, oh, hang on, I have something in my eye.
Yeah, honestly, we were...
And Roland goes, they're having sex. I was like, oh, is there another bathroom? I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I'd heard House Dinosaur a bit before, so I didn't know what to do at the time. The truth is, we already knew we were pregnant. We were just doing drugs in the bathroom.
Okay.
It was much more wholesome. Baby's first meth high.
Charmy was doing shots. Okay,
we were giving Junior his first little bump.
By the way, there's a comment from Chris Beard on the Sexy Liberal Facebook page. Says, just downloaded. So excited, I almost downloaded in my pants.
All right. Let's go to Kat. Let's go with that story that he was conceived in the Chicago theater. Let's just do that.
I can live with that little vaudeville baby.
I think I helped focus your sperm count because, you know what I mean? It was like pressure. You had to hurry.
Baby, you focus my sperm count every time I'm in the same room as you.
Hello, Kathy in Chicago. Hi, Kat.
Good morning. Good morning. I just wanted to let you know I have my tickets for the March show.
March 3rd, Chicago. Yay.
We're so looking forward to it. But I was watching the debate, and then just to make Chris LaVoy feel better, someone else watched Fox. I watched Sean Hannity, and he had Frank Luntz on. And Frank Luntz says, yes, we really want to know what people have to say, so we want you to weigh in. So go to www.wayin. Like, they can't even spell way properly.
Oh, dear.
They have to dumb down everything for their viewers.
Oh, there was some, you know, Kathy, I saw some graphics. What, somebody sent me this story. There are graphics on Fox. They literally had, like, the candidates wrong. Like, they didn't know where, which states were where.
Yeah.
They're just, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. People say things to me. I say, oh, I know. You watch Fox News.
They mistook Mitt Romney for President Obama.
Oh, that's right. They put Obama's picture in where it was supposed to be. Yeah, because they're so similar.
Yeah, and they mistook Utah for Nevada, I think.
Yeah.
But they're so glad we got Saddam for 9/11.
Yeah.
I'll talk to people and they'll say something else. I'm like, wait, the other thing Sean said was, and, you know, tell some other talking point. And they're like, well, how do you know that, please? It's all standard talk. And it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
right, you guys have a wonderful
thank you, honey.
We're so looking forward to seeing you.
Me too, honey. Thank you so much. There, there's the headline. Fox News has no clue where states are or which candidates are which. There are two possible explanations for the horrendously mislabeled graphics from yesterday's special report with Britt Baer. One, that no one at Fox News knows or cares about where Nevada or New Hampshire are. Or two, the network somehow trying to fool the Obama administration into pumping millions of dollars into Utah, thinking it's actually Nevada. Oh, boy. All right. By the by, Newt Gingrich, did you see he took this pledge, John, to not go negative, frankly?
And we all know how seriously he takes his pledges in life.
Yeah, exactly.
He put himself in a difficult position ahead of the debate. Do not go negative again. Now he's decided to be a nice guy.
Now a warning?
This is new. But he is just as big a flip-flopper, as we've been saying, as Mitt Romney, because, he has been attacking Obama for not doing whatever the generals tell him to do. Yeah. He said you should go to the White House and ask the president why did he overrule his generals. Well, magically, back in 2006,
I think we are drifting to a very, very dangerous situation.
This was
none of the generals recommended the speed of the drawdown the president wants.
This is this year.
If you watch what's happening, there's a steady drift away from the United States. At a time when the president is signaling his desire to get out as fast as he can and potentially get out much faster than the generals think is safe. You should go to the White House and ask the president, why did he overrule all his generals?
Oh.
Well, maybe because he's the commander-in-chief.
Because he's in charge of them. How about if we all do our Wayne's World?
How about when Bush fired any general who didn't agree with him?
Yeah.
I mean, it is the commander-in-chief, and now this guy wants our president to obey the generals.
Yes, in 2006, when a number of retired generals called on Rumsfeld to step down, because of poor leadership in the Iraq war, why?
Don Rumsfeld listens to generals. He doesn't obey them. We have civilian control. The president's in charge, his commander-in-chief. The Secretary of Defense works for the president. The generals advise. The generals don't control.
What?
Except when Obama is president, then it's all
that sounds kind of flippy and floppy to me.
Depends on which party is in the White House, apparently, as to how much power the generals have. Oh, heavens, we call you again, Newty. It's getting easier and easier.
When you say flippy and floppy, I imagine Gingrich on a treadmill.
Or on his wife.
Yeah, but her hair did not move.
No, or her eyes.
No.
It's creepy, the eyes follow you.
Yeah. Kind of like those statues in the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland.
Right. They're all Calista Gingrich.
Yeah.
By the way, we almost lost producer Chris in an e-ticket disaster last weekend, didn't we?
I was on the Indiana Jones Adventure, and it broke down and had to be evacuated.
Really? Like part 4 in the movie series?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was interesting. So I got to see the thing with the lights on.
Wow.
Yeah.
What happened? Did Shia LaBeouf join the ride and it all fell to pieces?
No, some maintenance guy walked by our car and said, yeah, we got a problem with car number 5.
You know, I've always said I wish to die in a really funny way so that it's like the Chuckles the Clown funeral and people can't stop laughing. Well, I hope to be crushed by a giant whale penis during mating season like some woman was off the coast here.
Could happen.
And I'm just want to say I wish that for all of you, too. See, that would, if you're going to, Chris, that would be funny.
That would be awesome.
We lost producer Chris this weekend.
Because Disneyland is my favorite place on Earth.
He was in a little teacup, and we all would like...
Well, that would suck.
Yeah. Let him die in a butch ride like Space Mountain.
Yeah, I'm not.
We lost him in a horrible carnival-related incident on the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Disneyland doesn't have Tilt-A-Whirls.
I don't know. I'm just making up
have
rides.
Have you ever
now.
Been to Disneyland?
Yes, I have.
Have you really?
Yes, I have.
That place must drive you nuts.
Oh, you know when I was there? When I had right before I had my disastrous late night TV show, and they made me be in the parade.
Oh, because you were
the
employee at the time. That's right.
Yeah.
Because Disney syndicated my late night TV show, and nobody knew. But it wasn't on yet, so no one knew who I was. So I had to be in the stupid cars with Mickey and stuff.
That's never awkward.
So you had to put on a costume.
And literally, you could see every person's face, just like, oh, they're waving. And they're like,
who's that?
It looks like Snow White, but she's out of costume.
Looks like Snow White, but she's drunk.
Snowblind drunk.
It's so embarrassing. Aww. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back where Fridays with People Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Some like that 80s drum sound, it's driving me nuts.
I love it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere, and Nudie at the debate.
I really do need your help on January 3rd. I know there are a ton of negative ads. You'll be able to go to Nude.org and see answers in every one of them, but I'm not going to spend my time on that stuff. I'm going to talk about positive solutions in a positive way.
Sure. You've always been a positive guy.
Oh, yeah.
Positively the biggest hole ever. By the way, here's a negative ad. Would you like some fun facts about his awful tax plan?
Please.
Under the Gingrich tax plan, millionaires will pay a lower overall tax rate than middle-class households. It is really, truly awful.
Yeah.
Under the Gingrich plan, millionaires will receive an average tax cut of more than $600,000 a year.
What's your point, frankly?
Wow.
Well, they've had it rough for a while.
Gingrich would deliver a bigger tax cut to the richest 1% than to the bottom 99% combined. Wow! Nudie, that is awful.
See, they wouldn't even notice $600,000. And you're that wealthy, so whatever.
Okay, whatever. Thanks, Nudie.
Yeah, maybe I'll sell one of my yachts. I don't know, whatever.
God. Mittens on I was mentioning this earlier on why he's such a flip-flopper.
Does it mean that over, I don't know, 17 years, I first had a public posture when I ran against the nation's leading liberal, Ted Kennedy. Have any of my views changed in 17 years?
Huh?
Why, of course. If you don't learn from experience, if you don't learn when you're wrong, then you're stubborn and stupid. So of course, over that period of time, there have been items where I would have changed my mind.
My views have changed over the last 17 seconds.
I mean, for Pete's sake.
I disagree with everything I just said.
I changed my mind from the beginning of the sentence. It was a long sentence. by the way, Camellia writes, breakfast at Stephanie's, it makes a great name for a new porn. That's true. What?
Tiffany's.
No, Stephanie's.
Tiffany's.
If I could be as stiff as Mitt, I'd work in gay porn.
Hey, speaking of gay porn, it's the Rick Perry ad.
Newt Gingrich supported increasing the federal debt ceiling $1 trillion and billions in new earmarks. Mitt Romney raised business taxes 20% in Massachusetts. Gingrich and Romney, insiders. Rick Perry's plans to create jobs and overhaul Washington with a part-time Congress make him the outsider political insiders fear most.
Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama. Two things. First of all, a Stephanie, a sexy liberal show thing. My partner bought us VIP tickets for the Minneapolis show.
Oh.
And I know. And we were walking around a shopping mall last night, and I ran into another friend of mine who's a big fan of you. And I mentioned this to Greg. I said, yeah, John here is a huge fan of Stephanie Miller. And Greg says, yeah, I thought I would buy his tickets since his entire life seems to revolve around Stephanie Miller.
Yes, as it should be.
As it should be. And if my friend John and I gave him the stink eye, if it was deadly, I'd be a widower today, let me tell you. Neither one of us thought it was funny. But
that doesn't matter because Stephanie Miller does.
Mm. Well, see, no one else understands this.
That's right.
No one understands
that's
at all.
Right. All right, go ahead.
But anyway, the serious thing, I'm hoping that Obama has the cojones that when the debate comes down, and it looks like it's going to be Gingrich or Romney, and is he going to have the cojones to actually say, let me just point out a few things about what you said in the past. You said this, then you said this, you said this, and you said this. Or is he just going to try to be so above the fray that he won't go there? And he's got to do that. He's got to point out.
Oh, they already have. I mean, the White House already has. You know, Axelrod and what's the other guy? They've already been out talking about this. The Democratic Party already had to run the ad already.
Yep.
Right.
They're
right.
On it.
I know that, but I really want that when the debates come, he's got to be a little bit more. He's got to fight. He's got to show that I am a person of principle. This is what I've stood for. Who knows what the hell you stand for?
Well, David, you know, and I have to say it's another time to make the case that literally Obama has done just about everything he ran on and that he said he was going to do. You know, he's speaking by way of contrasting him with Mitt Romney.
Despite having a Republican House. You know, he's done everything. So that's pretty damn good.
I'd like to say, every time these candidates mention that Obama has actually cut taxes for all Americans, I will personally slather Barney Frank in warming oil.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Oh, I did not need that.
I needed that.
Did you?
As long as he does it at a sexy liberal show, Mama makes a little cash. That's good. All right.
Sexy liberal Boston.
Everything you threaten, John, better be on stage in Boston. Okay. Barbara Walters and Herman Cain.
What kind of cabinet position might you like if it were possible?
We are speaking totally, totally hypothetical, right? Totally, totally hypothetical. Mm-hmm. Department of Defense.
What?
Yes.
Not Treasury? I mean, you're the 999.
I'm the 999 guy.
Why Department of Defense?
Because if I could influence rebuilding our military the way it should be, that would be a task I would consider undertaking.
Then I could bomb Uzbekistan.
Sure.
There. Exactly. Or stop it on a map.
Or Celinda. Yeah. I will make Rick Perry the,
He's all like, give me the guns.
Wow.
Yeah,
by the way, go ahead.
Be the sex harassment czar.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, Barbara Walters.
How are you doing?
I didn't touch her, Libya.
Oh, boy.
I did find her cylinder, though.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Hey, cylinder, bring your Libya over here.
All right.
Hey, where are the white women at?
All right.
Hey, no.
Ron Paul knows. Barbara Walters just told President Obama she's retiring next year. She was interviewing him, and during the break, she leaned over and said, I need one more interview. I'm retiring next year. However, the vice president of ABC News says Barbara has joked she's retiring every year since the Clinton administration. When asked if she fibbed to get Obama another interview, the president of ABC News laughed. She's one of the greatest bookers who ever lived.
She said that since the Hoover administration.
Barbara.
Exactly. She's had more retirement tours than Cher and David Bowie.
You scam. President Obama, I am retiring right after this NLBO.
Just like I told President Hoover.
Need another one. Oh, he was easily twicked. I can't believe you bought that.
I was supposed to believe a woman who calls the Kardashians fascinating people.
No, I think her producers told her to call them fascinating. Because if you saw the interview, she just made fun of them the entire time.
Yeah.
I don't think she finds them fascinating at all.
No, I think she finds them ratings bait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fascinating.
By the way, speaking of, we were just mentioning Herman Cain. There's a great story on Yahoo. Why do women stay with men through scandals?
Yeah.
It's, you know, the long list of people. But did you see Dottie Sandusky yesterday? Oh, dear.
Wow.
Oh, dear. Dottie Sandusky, there she is, clinging to her grinning husband. She let the world know she's still on her husband's side. I continue to believe in Jerry's innocence and all the good things he has done, which apparently does not include banging boys in the basement of their house while she was doing God knows what, allegedly. Did you hear about that? In the basement of his own? I mean, not since that guy, you know, our favorite Republican in,
Indiana.
Illinois. Illinois, the young Republican. Not the young Republican. I'm sorry. Who is it? He's a Republican in Illinois. His wife caught him in the basement with hookers.
Yeah.
And hit him with a
guitar.
Hannah Montana guitar.
Yeah.
There's just so many.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, that was Suburban Chicago.
Yes.
What's amazing is Sandusky's lawyer's most recent defense that he actually had the boys in the shower, but he was teaching them hygiene.
How to clean themselves. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds like something right out of James Dobson's website. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, right back.
Looking a little haggard.
Oh! Hey.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. You know, if a text message could make a sound, my mind would just have said.
Yeah.
It's when Roland just texts me, call me ASAP.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roland Scahill, Sexy Liberal Tour Director, with some exciting news. I'm sorry, what's that, Roland?
Good morning. We are number one.
Yes. What? Number one? We have the number one comedy album in the nation after only 40 minutes.
On iTunes.
On iTunes. And we actually cracked the top 100 chart of general albums on iTunes. And
wow.
We're looking at this. Miss Lady Gaga's 96 and you're 93.
Wow! You're beating Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I'm going to take that bitch down, Professor.
Tour,
yeah, not since I got the text message about the Polestar Touring Awards. The last call me ASAP, which, by the way, apparently Lady Gaga is going to go down.
We're looking at it right now. She is here beating her in the album charts.
We are up against, for best tour, John Fugel saying we were up against Lady Gaga, Kenny Chesney, Taylor Swift, and Usher. We are up for best new tour against Adele, Billy Elliot, South Pacific. Best lead comedy performer, I'm up against, Bo Burnham, Louis C.K., Dane Cook, and John Oliver. And
well,
then,
you just knocked Louis C.K. off the comedy chart.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, Louis.
Well, you're funnier than Dane Cook.
That's a feat.
Roland Scahill, this is very exciting.
It's very exciting.
You're in a bit of a frenzy today. What with you just sent me the screenshot of Stephen Sondheim.
Well, I'm going to see if he can write special lyrics just for "I'm Still Here" based on going through the tour this year. Yeah. I think it's
yeah.
I made it through all of last year is going to be our...
Well, now, will you sing that or will that be my closing number? Have
oh,
we
I'm
decided?
Please, I'm singing that.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Bitch, please.
I went to the same high school. Come on, I get credit there.
How hilarious is it? So Stephen Sondheim sent you a look, I made a hat?
Yes.
Well, it's a book that he just released.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a collection of his lyrics, and it says, "Thank you, Roland. See you at Chicago. Sexy liberal Stephen Sondheim."
That is the most awesome thing in the world.
That's fantastic. And he's also rewriting a song to be "Anyone Can Teabag" instead of "Anyone Can Whistle."
Exactly. I smell Sexy Liberal the Musical in the works, Roland. Am I right?
Well, I actually am going to see if Hal's band can do covers of all the Sondheim songs.
Wow.
Heavy metal version.
Send in the clowns. Heavy metal. Oh, my God.
He'll be in Chicago March 3rd. Very exciting.
Yep.
All right, Roland, time to go collapse in a heap on your chiffon.
Fabulous.
All right, love you.
Love you guys.
All right.
Bye, Roland.
He sounded like a football fan, John. He was just like, I answered my phone, and he was like, "We're number one! We're number one!" Like,
that's fantastic.
Roland was squee! Squee! Roland was going all butch for a minute.
T-Ball, you know, thank Jesus for that.
Yeah.
You it's just told great. Rebecca Taylor that we have the number one album, and she, what did she say? She goes, "Aw, bitch."
Yeah. As only Rebecca can. Yeah. That is
awesome.
Was
she referring to you or me like she normally
does?
No,
I think it was just
bitch.
just a general exclamation.
Yeah.
Exclamation, yeah.
Because she's filthy mouthed.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Thank you, everybody. That's amazing. John, that's in 40 minutes. We're the number one.
40 minutes. Congratulations.
We just announced it 40 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Congratulations,
you guys.
Well, you know you know what it is, John? Because you can buy tracks individually or the whole album.
Right.
I think just the tracks alone, the names. Track one, Stephanie Miller, Welcome Sexy Liberals. Here's a picture of my vajayjay. Hal Sparks, Backwoods Ambassador. John Fugel saying Knights of the Trickle Down Table. Stephanie Miller, clang, 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 went Marcus Bachman. John Fugel saying Jesus, the GOP, and teabagging. I mean, just the, come on.
Well, Jesus, GOP, and teabagging actually is album only. So if you want to hear that bit, you've got to buy the whole album.
Right, there you go. There you go. What, I haven't even seen some of these in a while. Let's see. John Fugel saying Fox News and Obama. Hal Sparks, Campaign 2012. These are your American idols. Let's see. Stephanie Miller, my mom's bird masturbates Fox News. By the way, I'm a big gay. John Fugel saying Catholics, the Bible, and hate. It goes on and on. Chris Matthews, of course, you're unbelievable. Oh, look at mine. Cialis, when did we get twin bathtubs? It's a whole thing. All right, get it. Go get it now, kids. Here we go. It's the...
In April 2011, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour launched in Madison, Wisconsin. Since then, over 18,000 fans have experienced this year's hottest, most acclaimed, and sought-after live comedy show.
Oh, yeah!
Just in time for the holidays, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is proud to announce this December surprise. The release of Volume 1 of their live tour album, featuring John Fugelsang.
When they go teabagging, it's a couple of big mouths controlling all the nuts.
Hal Sparks.
Take care of yourselves. Take care of somebody else.
And Stephanie Miller.
Oh, babies, who's ready to get their sexy on with mama?
Go to iTunes today and download Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, the show that fans call hysterical, inspiring, uplifting, motivating, and filthy.
We love you, sexy liberals. Good night.
This holiday season, stuff someone's stocking with Stephanie Miller and have a very sexy liberal new year.
All right. Thank you, kids.
Yay.
And as I said, they just gave away my whole act. Damn it.
Oh, well.
Chris in Yankton writes, Steph, so now you have a comedy album. Watch out, Joan Rivers. Can you do any of the material from her What Becomes a Semi-Legend Most album? I don't do drugs. Every once in a while I'm feeling a little depressed. I take a little Fresca and throw it on a panty shield. Yes! Picks you right up.
When I had my daughter, and that was just conception.
Okay.
She apparently wrote that joke when she was still using panty shields.
A long time ago.
Just saying.
Boy. All right.
Do you have an audience with President Roosevelt? Teddy Roosevelt?
Camelia writes, Mama, I was wondering, since you're revisiting L.A. with Sexy Liberal, any chance you'll be heading back up to San Francisco to visit us again? I had a ticket to your October show. I ended up seriously injuring my foot and was unable to walk, and then unable to attend the show. Is it something the elves are working on by any chance? Roland? Stop dancing the Stephen Sondheim songs and get on that.
Can you dance to Send in the Clouds?
No, you can't.
I think you can. Roland can. I've seen it. Maria in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Maria.
Good morning, Mama. How are you?
Good. We're happy. We're celebrating today.
I know. As well, you all should be. Listen, I am so glad that I got the album. It is absolutely fantastic. I've already listened to it once, and I'm, again, reliving both shows that I've seen and cracking up the entire time.
Aw, thank you, honey.
Absolutely. The only thing that I truly miss is the banter between you and John, which is just... so good, and I miss that. That's the only thing I miss on the album. Other than that,
you mean the panel?
Yes. The panel. I miss that.
Yeah, we didn't include panel. And the other thing is panel. Obviously, the show changes in every city because the news
Absolutely.
Changes, and we have Q&A with the audience and all of that, and we have some different celebrities in different cities and all that stuff. So, but that's why you can listen on Fridays for the snappy banter between John Fugelsang and I. Am I right, John?
Indeed. And thank you, Maria. But also, I should say that we have, you know, some things recorded. Like, we did record the Rob Reiner panel, and we also have an Aisha panel that got recorded last summer.
Oh.
So someday, when we release a box set with lots of deleted tracks, someday we'll have that as special bonus tracks or something.
Someday,
Volume 12.
You can own my box, Mario.
Please, Mama, please.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, honey. All right. Oh, you made her all giggly.
Wow. It became the T-shirt.
Show. Yeah. Yeah, I believe, yes, we're working on Steph Head merchandise, in fact. But you can get some good Sexy Liberal merchandise at sexyliberal.com as gifts as well.
That's right.
For the sexy liberal in your life. Okay. Why am I talking like this?
I don't know.
All right.
Talk like Jiminy Glick all of a sudden.
Because you're happy. It happens sometimes.
Well, you know what? This is always a victory because NPR, their ratings are huge, you know.
They have huge ratings.
Judy writes, I got my daughter to switch from NPR to you.
Wow.
Can you get my patriotic fart, please? Thank you. Hi, Stephanie. I've been a longtime fan, and my husband and I loved your first Sexy Liberal show in Chicago. We told our daughter about your radio and live shows, but she was stuck on NPR till one day she was driving in an area she couldn't find her usual station, and she came across your show, fell in love with you, John, Hal, Chris, and Jim. So this March, she and I have front row seats to see you at the Chicago Theater. It's her birthday today. Could you please say happy birthday to Melissa?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Marissa. I hope you get a lot of bottle of Ragavulin. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Kim Jong-un.
Wow.
All right.
You don't have to put that. Send you to the gulag.
We can't wait till March. Well, we can't either. You know what? And may I just salute you, because there's more fart jokes here.
Yeah.
Get all the same stuff as NPR, but with fart jokes. So we would
Mara Liasson does a lot of fart jokes.
We would like to salute anyone that is coming over from NPR to us, the fine Americans that they are, like Judy's daughter in Chicago. Yes.
Is that Amy Goodman doing the fart joke?
Yeah, that's Amy Goodman farting. No,
it's
that's
Nina
the Democracy
Totenberg.
Now fart joke.
It's
yeah.
Nina Totenberg.
I have some great Carl Castle teabagging material.
Jason in California. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Stephanie. You know, I just wanted to say thank you.
Okay.
Because I have full-blown AIDS, and I actually beat it, and I'm healthy now.
Wow.
Oh, awesome.
Part of that is the free laughter I get every day from you guys, because I get it at 6, and I listen all the way through.
Oh, thank you, honey. I appreciate it.
But and I really did. I mean, I know you lost your friend, and I didn't want to upset you or anything, but I made a full recovery from 3 T-cells and 100 pounds.
Wow. Yeah, amazing. my high school boyfriend. But, you know, that was a long time ago, Jason, way before, you know, the cocktail or any of that. So,
yeah
we lost a lot of good boys back in the 80s.
Yeah, I know.
I lost my best friend in 2004, who I grew up with. He was hemophiliac, and so he contracted it from a blood transfusion when we were kids. And he was a guy who was a real right-wing conservative when we were kids, and very homophobic. And by the time he died, his heart had grown so much, he'd really evolved so much. And he was able to conceive children, actually.
Wow.
They actually can now clean off sperm cells, and he was able to impregnate his wife and have two healthy babies. And, you know, I wish he took take a little better care of himself, because it's not a death sentence anymore, and you're living proof of that.
Yeah. Jason, thanks. Go ahead.
I made a full recovery, and thank you, Stephanie.
Oh, honey, thank you for that. That touches me more than you know. And if not to make it all about me, but if you could record a testimonial that the show gives you T-cells.
Please.
I'd appreciate that.
Stephanie.
What? Okay, thank you, Jason. I love you. You know what? I'm going to give you a soda stream. How's that?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, yay! See? All right, there you go. Rebecca, give him a soda stream machine. Yay.
Stephanie Miller, the show that gives you T-cells.
And soda.
What's wrong with making it all about?
Stephanie Miller.
Why?
Oh, God.
Okay. All right, listen. 17 minutes after the hour. Sometimes, John, Chris just gives me a look of pure...
horror.
After years and years, he just, scorn. even Rebecca can't replicate that kind of scorn. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Bugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust the move.
Just bust the move. Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. Bring me my personal Jesus. Personal comedy Jesus, John Fugel saying, I saved this one for you. Did you see the... please take out your organ. Can
come
you
on to
comedy
me, my
Jesus?
Child.
Mm-hmm. New billboard depicts Virgin Mary holding a pregnancy test.
Did you see this?
Boy.
No.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
She's holding a pregnancy test with a positive reading. It's called Mary is in the Pink. It was purchased by actually a church in New Zealand. They say the lack of text on the billboard is intended to provoke thought. Actually, it does provoke thought, and that is that they're kind of douche nozzles.
Yes.
It says, we hope to do an image in no words. We invite you to wonder what your caption might be. I don't know what that means. It's from a string of provocative holiday-themed billboards for the church.
Well, it's proof that the Virgin Mary didn't have immaculate contraception.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got no problem with my pro-life brothers and sisters, except for a couple things. Number one, you know, if you want to protest this, go right ahead. Nat Hentoff is an atheist, and he protests abortion on civil rights measures. So go right ahead and do it. But two things to keep in mind. Number one, Jesus never said a damn thing about abortion, but he was against the death penalty. Y'all are the opposite.
Yeah.
And number two, more importantly, if you're against abortion, why the hell are you supporting the Republican Party? Because they need abortion as their number one fundraising tool. Mm-hmm. The The Bush administration controlled the White House, and they controlled the GOP had the House and the Senate for 6 years. Did they ever once try to defund Planned Parenthood?
No.
George Bush Sr. was pro-choice till the day Reagan asked him to be the running mate. You are throwing your votes away on the GOP. They need abortion for the same reason they need gay marriage and illegal immigrants, to raise funds. There's a right-to-life party, Republicans. Go to it right now. Give them your votes and abandon the GOP.
Thank you, personal comment. You know, I must say, the one thing, though, is it is more realistic than a lot of those pregnancy test commercials on TV. Because she does have a hand over her mouth, like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the ones on TV.
Seem happy?
Yeah, on TV, they always seem happy. Like, nobody that goes to the store to get a pregnancy kit is happy.
Oh, remember when they had all the guys, all the pregnancy ads were just the men going like, you mean really? Really?
Oh,
I can't believe. They're never like, Gina, you're so stupid. Why you do this?
There's all this, like, beautiful music. They're all like, it's what color is it turned, John? I don't know.
They're plus sign.
No, it's like whatever color it usually turns. It's pink. Whatever, yeah.
Is
like
it?
They're all like, it's pink. So unrealistic. You know, like, it's pink. No! Stupid whore. You know what I'm saying? I just want a more realistic pregnancy commercial.
Yes, me too.
All right.
Mine. Not mine. You ever see that?
Not mine.
Not mine.
We're going on Maury, bitch. You never see that again.
The most common thing said after a positive pregnancy test is not mine. All right. The president on the budget and the tax deal.
Congress should not and cannot go on vacation before they have made sure that working families aren't seeing their taxes go up by $1,000, and those who are out there looking for work don't see their unemployment insurance expire.
So I guess the good news is it looks like they reached agreement, right, yesterday on a compromise.
Late last night, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
In order to, because that's normally the last season of the year now, after Christmas, John, is government shutdown.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently, for once, it looks like they have averted this. By yesterday afternoon, they were saying expectations had grown. They would, because they do this all the time. They go right to the very, very end, and then...
And the American people are getting really, really sick of it.
Yes, what the president said. Yes.
There's no reason the government should shut down over this. And I expect all of us to do what's necessary in order to do the people's business and make sure that it's done before the end of the year.
Uh-huh. The president's Carney yesterday as well. Jay Carney, the press secretary.
There are issues that need to be resolved in the spending measure, but they can be resolved. And there are certainly many paths here to getting a payroll tax cut extension done. So, you know, I think that a willingness to be reasonable here would go a long way.
And the boner, of course, urging reason as he normally is.
I think everyone just needs to step back and take a deep breath. I think there's an easy way to untangle all of this.
Yes.
I think everyone needs to step back and take a deep drink. This is what I'm doing in a tavern. God, I have to work for this. I can't.
There's no easy way to untangle it when you're drinking that much bourbon.
Right.
That's for sure.
And how does Boehner and Trump have the same exact orange tan in December on the East Coast?
I don't
get that.
It's curious.
They have both tan themselves out of the known color spectrum.
Well, Trump is going to tan is approaching the same color as his hair.
Yeah.
He's going to just be one orange thing.
And prematurely orange.
Oh, speaking of Trump, real quick, Deirdre in Annapolis. Hello. Hi, Deirdre.
Hello. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. On the Trump Twitter fight with the O'Donnells,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was so funny. Lawrence O'Donnell, you know how much I love him.
Me too.
My husband can't be with me in the same room when Lawrence O'Donnell's on. But in any case.
I know.
So he goes after Lawrence O'Donnell.
Wait, hang on, Deirdre, you got to tell the story, because this was hilarious. All right, we'll talk about the Trump Twitter fight next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You don't want anybody to have a happy Christmas. Oh, you want happy? Drink another six-pack.
And get the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, the album on iTunes, only $9.99. Download it now. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. We're number one. We're number one. I got another text message from Roland.
Uh-oh.
We are not only the number one, let's see here, number one comedy album right now on iTunes. We're up to number 80 on the album, the general album charts, up from number 93. Look at Roland's becoming a record producer now. Up 13 spaces with a bullet.
And now back to the countdown.
Yeah.
You passed Taylor Swift now as well. Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
Another one down. Another one bites the dust. Yeah, we're up against her, that biatch, for best tour, John. Wow. She's going down.
You just Kanye'd her.
Lady down.
You just Kanye'd her.
You're on top of Lady, on top of Taylor Swift.
Exactly. Well, and I'm up against Louis C.K. for best lead comedy performer. And guess what? We already passed him on best comedy album.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, let's talk about something really entertaining, and that's the Trump Twitter fight with both Lawrence and Rosie O'Donnell. Deidre, go ahead.
So, anyway, I was listening to Lawrence O'Donnell, and he said he had someone on that said, you know, I did an interview with Trump, and he spent the entire interview raging about you. And because Lawrence O'Donnell says things like, Trump's not going to win a run. Trump doesn't have the money. Trump's not going to do this. He's very straightforward. He calls everybody out all the time.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say, he just says, it's not true. They're lying. Mm-hmm. And he lets it go.
Awesome.
And it drives these people crazy because nobody calls him out on anything. So now Trump gets in a Twitter fight with him and says to Lawrence O'Donnell, the second love of my life, you've got to face the radio. This is Donald Trump with cat hair on his head. You've got to face radio. Then he goes after Rosie O'Donnell. So I'm listening to this whole thing. I go on the computer to read all this, and I want to scream back to Trump, what about Christine O'Donnell? What are you going on?
Yeah, I heard that the Rosie stuff got really nasty, right?
Really nasty.
Yeah. He's talking about her fiance.
Yeah, it got really personal.
Yeah, go after her girlfriend's parents. I mean, what is wrong with this man?
I know.
He's such a loser.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
he still wants to be president.
Yeah.
You want that as president?
He still may run for president, Deidre, so don't give up comedy-wise.
Yeah, when he's not getting into public slap fights with girls.
Yeah. By the way, John, that'll be a whole other album itself if Donald Trump gets in the race as an independent.
I have to support Rosie now in this fight because Rosie loves me, because Rosie said some very nice things about me the other day. So.
On the Joy Behar show.
Oh, I heard that.
Yes. Prior to this, I would have supported Trump because he's such a great patriot.
Sure,
it's great to see Rosie beating a man in a public slap fight.
She mentioned the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour Joy Behar, too. Yeah.
Mentioned Stephanie Liberal.
Yeah.
Yay.
Stephanie Miller, I mean.
Stephanie Liberal.
Just go ahead. Change my last name.
She didn't know my name. She couldn't say my name, but she could say Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour. So
Nobody can. Nobody can say your name, Fugelskagen. Justin in Asheville. Hello, Justin.
Hey, Stephanie, John, and Mook.
Hello.
Hi.
I would like to give you an unsolicited testimonial for the Stephanie Miller I was in Asheville when you guys came, and I sat next to this really cute blonde girl, and she ended up being really funny. We had a great time, and after the show, I got her phone number, and now we've been dating for 3 months, and I've got lots of Sexy Liberal Strange.
Oh, yay! Thanks, Justin. Nice. Congratulations. Now you need to make a Sexy Liberal baby like John Fugelsang has.
No, I'm playing on it.
All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I keep saying we need to have a singles event at these shows because this is where you're going to meet like-minded sane people.
They are a singles event. I'm telling you. There's a lot of people going to get Sexy Liberal Strange.
We're a mecca for smart, moral, pervert deviants.
Yeah. Awesome. We cornered the market. And now you know because NPR is stealing my recipes.
What?
You know that things have gotten big.
When have you given a recipe on this show?
Always. Margaret in Asheville. Which one did they steal?
Well, I was listening yesterday morning, and it was Mary from Charlotte, North Carolina, was talking about what is your sauerkraut dish that you have for holidays? And she was saying how her family has introduced this sauerkraut dish to everybody and how they go, ew, yuck, and then they love it, and it's a tradition, and they even make a turkey sandwich out of it with cranberry.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, where have I heard this recipe before?
That NPR biatch stole it. All right, thank you, Margaret. Oh, see? Lots of people love it. They call it mama kraut. I give it out every Thanksgiving. My sauerkraut
sounds
it's delicious.
Disgusting.
I only burned it that one year.
I want mama's kraut.
Okay.
I suppose you got to be a fan of sauerkraut in the first place, and I am not.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the Justice Department Thursday accused Arizona stick, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, violating constitutional and civil rights in a pattern of misconduct that involved targeting and mistreating Latinos.
Yeah.
He has just endorsed Texas Governor Robert Kerry.
Yeah. That's a shock. Mm. And so, yeah.
Bring it.
Oh, the poor little dumber boy. He just, his luck just isn't getting any better. Do we have that? John hasn't heard Little Dumber Boy yet. We have a number of Christmas specials, John. I don't know if you've heard Frothy the Santorum. Is
you know, I got
very,
to hear these
very
yesterday. I was in Florida, and I heard you all on XM on my car stereo. I had satellite radio, so I got to listen to the whole show and hear them.
Awesome. Hey, speaking of right-wing sticks, did you see this one? Ted Nugent wrote about the hearty laughs he had after watching the cops pounce on and pepper spray a few Occupy stooges and then drag the dirtballs off to jail in shackles. He went on to say this was good for my conservative soul and gold for my sense of humor. All right. Thank you. The only person that has ever flipped me off live on national television.
Really?
Yes. All right. Oh, yes, here it is.
This is Rick Perry with a holiday message. This all started when they came to me and said, you got a chance to be the big cheese. Our king, you should be. Head honcho, man in charge, top dog. Sounded good to me. Then again, I had a problem or two.
I can't remember things.
Okay, the first one was, second one, the second thing was, what was the third thing? Whoops. Then there was that thing with the rock.
I might not win.
That was a problem. That was really stupid, that one. Y'all have a happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa there.
Okay. Hey, a little celebrity stack. How about this? Derek Jeter, he's the kind of gentleman who gives all of his one-night stands a gift bag.
Oh,
a lovely parting gift
bag. Swag. Good.
Yes.
Nice.
He puts her in a waiting car, and there's a basket of autographed memorabilia, including a signed baseball.
And a tube of Valtrex.
You thought Oprah had a big give.
See? That's why I got swag once after a date with Weird Al.
You did.
I didn't even have to have sex with him. He was nice enough to give me some swag right out of his garage.
Garage full of swag. Wow.
It's another name of an album.
You know, he's in one of the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour promos that we're running.
Oh, you're kidding.
The Albuquerque one.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Clint Eastwood, yikes. He's going to with Kardashians. TMZ reporting his wife, reporting his wife and two daughters are currently shooting a family reality show intended to air on the E! Network. He's going to make a couple of cameos, I guess.
Kind
of
like Whitney and being Bobby Brown.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
You're probably wondering, are there 5 or 6 episodes left? Something.
I don't know. Well, Clint's a favorite. Clint came out for marriage equality, so he's allowed to balance that out morally by associating with Kardashians.
Were there 5 or 6 Kardashians? 7, I don't remember.
You know, it seems to be a lot of celebrities in this economy should shut their pie holes. Celine Dion wants you to know that she owns about 3,000 pairs of shoes.
Oh, no.
No.
It seems a task. Skosh excessive.
A little bit. Saying. A little bit.
Okay. All right, this is it's a geek story for all y'all. What do you call it?
Gadget
Star Wars
heads?
Geeks.
Oh,
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cops showed up at a Portland Toys R Us after getting a 911 call that a man was terrorizing the store with Luke Skywalker's favorite weapon. He had a lightsaber. When the cops showed up, the man was in the parking lot. When they tried to arrest him, he defended himself against the Emperor's clone troops with his
lightsaber.
With his weapon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Officers tried to arrest him, but he kept swinging the lightsaber at them. One tried to use his taser on the suspect, but the device didn't work.
Ooh,
not
the force was with him, clearly. He used the force.
See? The force was
with
him.
These are not the toys you're looking for.
Maybe some Occupy folks ought to get some of these.
Yeah.
Those lightsabers, by the way, work as a natural form of birth control. Just so you know. No eggs will be fertilized if you have a lightsaber.
Or if you just make that sound effect with your mouth. Yeah, that's geeky enough. Wow, Gawker alerting us to the high school incest prank, the year's dumbest, grossest idea. Which
what?
Minnesota's Rosemont High had an awesome idea for a prank at this year's winter pep rally. Blindfold all the sports captains and have them make out with people, and the prank part is that they're making out with their parents who aren't blindfolded.
Wait, the parents okayed this?
Ew.
Footage of the assembly shows a scene that would
make... Is this in Arkansas?
Even snow.
No, Minnesota.
that would make even Sigmund Freud cringe. Dads kissing daughters, mothers kissing sons.
Yeah.
Oh.
And these are not just innocent pecks on the lips. The parents are intimately lip-locking with their children for several seconds. One even progresses to rolling around on the gym floor. In another instance, a mother moves her son's hand to her butt. Oh.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I just think I'm going to burst.
Oh, boy.
Who okayed this? The parents did.
I guess the parents, because they weren't blindfolded.
Yeah, they thought this was hunky dory.
What?
Yikes.
How do we blame this on Obama?
Right, that's what I'm looking
for. That's what Rush Limbaugh is trying to figure out
right now. A frantic intern is trying.
This will be on what the Fox? Yep, that'll be all over there tonight. It could be because of this headline. High school students are too stoned to binge drink. Well, that's not good news, I guess. A new study shows a 30-year high in the incidence of marijuana usage among high school students, even while drinking, and other drug use has declined. So I guess that's sort of...
Cheeto sales have gone through the roof.
So alcohol and cigarettes have gone down, pot's gone up, and... That's horrible, I guess.
We can't figure that out. That's puzzling. I don't think we've recovered from the incest thing. Okay, let's. I've never heard John Google saying this. What?
Yeah.
Huh? No. It's hard to shock him. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Friday's with Google saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. I don't get it, but I love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Count me out.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow.
Welcome to it.
Stepped on my foot. Ow. Ow.
1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Mary in New Mexico. Hi, Mary.
Buenos dias.
Adios, mio.
I have to disagree with John about Star Wars guys who have lightsabers not getting any. My husband is a huge Star Wars fan. We have the lightsaber. Listen.
As am I.
And he knows how to wield it, and that's how I ended up with two little Padawans.
Oh, hello now. Oh, you dirty little trollop, you, Mary.
And I've got front row seats to the Albuquerque show.
Yay! Albuquerque, March 31st. Yay! Okay, see you there, honey.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Well, it is true. There's lots of wonderful women out there who can appreciate a good Star Wars fan. I'm just saying, in general, if you refer to the original Star Wars as A New Hope, you ain't fertilizing any eggs anytime soon.
Okay. John in Denver is my right-wing love muffin. Hello, John.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I was just curious. I listen to your show occasionally, as I do most.
I just stumbled across our
show. Shows.
Yes.
And I was just curious. You come across as very hateful towards people like myself. Why is that?
Not you,
very
John.
Hateful.
Everyone else except you.
Well, let's be honest. I know you're trying to be funny, but you know, I mean, when you play little things about how Rick Perry is dumb.
Well, he is.
Well, Rick Perry's dumb.
Yeah, but that's based
on the truth that Rick Perry is dumb.
Yeah, and it uses actual sound bites from Rick Perry himself.
How's that hateful to you?
Hey,
we make fun of people in power.
Not everybody is a great public speaker, but let's be
honest. But you kind of need to be president.
Oh. Yeah, especially Texas governors.
Okay, Sarah Palin's a great public speaker.
No, she's not. Not by any stretch of the
imagination. John, do you think Rick Perry and Sarah Palin, those are the best examples of intellect on the Republican side?
I certainly don't think Obama is.
You're changing the subject.
We're changing the subject. I'm asking about
you. Your question.
Hold on. You're asking me. It's kind of a catch-22 question.
No.
It's a direct question.
How is it hateful to you? Mitt Romney's a great public speaker. How is it hateful to you to make fun of Rick Perry being a bad one?
How is it hateful when you...
Mitt Romney's a great one. That's not complimenting you.
Hold on. You can have a debate and say, hey, look, Rick Perry's not a great public speaker.
Right.
That's okay. But when you sit there and call someone dumb and stupid and an idiot, that's hateful.
I called him a little dumber boy. That's different.
Oh, come on.
I never called him stupid. I just called him ignorant.
Why has he dropped to the bottom of the Republican polls? Because most Republicans think he didn't answer.
Because Republicans hate people like him.
I'm not defending Rick Perry.
Not about being a great speaker. He doesn't have a grasp of the
fact. I'm asking why you guys come across so hateful towards conservatives.
That's the way you
put it. But, John, first of all, he's not speaking in a debate. He is answering questions. He obviously doesn't have a good grasp of a lot of different kinds of facts. He's had one mistake after another. That has nothing to do with the big.
Are missing the point.
But sir, that's like saying you criticizing Obama is hateful to all liberals. Yeah. We're making fun of politicians. We're not making fun of conservatives. We're making fun of people
really?
In power.
Okay.
Right.
When was the last time you made fun of Obama?
I make fun of Obama sometimes.
Stephanie yells at me all the time for making fun of Obama.
Yeah, we get yelled at for making fun of him.
Exactly.
I get taken to the woodshed.
I've never heard you guys make fun of Obama.
Oh, but I just thought you just stumbled across this show,
John,
sir.
It has to be based on something that you think is funny.
Hold on. I didn't say I just stumbled across this show. I said I listen to your show occasionally.
Okay,
John, do you think Herman Cain, that was a good answer on Libya? I mean, are we making things up, or are we making fun of people's, how they're answering certain questions?
I think that if you were making fun of all politicians, look.
Right, but they don't all make the same mistakes.
You can't make fun of all politicians.
Okay, John, tell me what I should have been making fun of Obama about. What huge mistake has he made, like Rick Perry or Herman Cain on a policy question or whatever?
Well, it's easy for Obama not to make any mistakes because he's always reading from a telephone.
Come on, man.
You voted for Bush. You don't get to make fun of guys who use teleprompters.
Right. Talking point.
Obama did very well in every single debate, and he didn't have a single teleprompter in one of them.
I criticize Obama all the time and get spanked for it.
We get yelled at for it and sent to the woodshed.
Yeah.
I've never heard you criticize Obama. I've heard you criticize policies or choices. Right. I've never heard you criticize a man.
Yeah, well,
and there's nothing really all that funny about Obama.
Exactly.
He's too competent.
Having a non-buffoon president's not fun for comics.
It's bad for comedy.
And by the way, he didn't have a teleprompter. He was president of the Harvard Law Review.
What's he doing? He talks pretty. That's all, because he's got a teleprompter.
Wow, we want to end today's show with that.
Speaking of dummies.
Hateful to me when you point out how stupid Rick Perry is.
How am I making fun of you because Rick Perry's a dope?
And that's like if I say that Mitt Romney's a fantastic public speaker who wins every debate he does, that's not complimenting this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Dope.
Speaking of idiots, idiot California SWAT team tried to catch a guy who was already in prison. They stormtroopered the home of Hope and Javier Bravo in search of their son who was already in prison, which seems like something they should have known.
Yeah.
They showed up at 5:30 in the morning with flashbang grenades, burst into the home, pointed their weapons at Team Bravo's and their 8-year-old grandson. The officers left after the Hope Bravo showed them a recent letter from her son mailed from prison.
And then they shot her anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Then they tased the 8-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, this is a serious point, though. I mean, the Bill of Rights has been eroded to the point that they can do almost anything. Yeah. For any reason now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really frightening.
That sounds like you're a strict constructionist, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah. If NDAA was your drinking word for last night's debate, you were sober because even Ron Paul didn't mention it.
Yep.
We have a sexy liberal comedy album update.
Yes. Yes, please. Uh-huh.
We have cracked the top 50. We're number 46.
In all album sales?
In all album
sales. We're the number one comedy album as we speak in the country.
We're number 46 in all album sales.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Congrats, you.
Thank
you.
Let's get to number one. Come on, kids. Let's go. Let's get to iTunes, everybody. Let's go.
We can do it. Let's all be codependent together.
And now, a story about a baby seal. Just to end the show on a warm, fuzzy note.
Heidi Klum's new child?
No. Baby seal breaks into a house and curls up on the sofa. Why doesn't this ever happen to me?
Because you don't live near the ocean.
Oh, in New Zealand, it came through the cat door. A girl up on her couch.
Through the cat door window. A brand new couch.
I have bad critter trouble. I never have cuddly, cute critter trouble.
You have raccoons.
Yes. I have nasty critter trouble.
Skunks.
Somebody, I have the number one comment. comedy album in the car. I want Baby Seal on my couch this weekend.
You get chupacabras.
Also, you also have giant dogs that necessitate giant dog doors. So really, a bull elephant could come through your dog door.
Why doesn't anything exciting like that ever happen to me? All right. John Fugel saying, thank you, my friend. Congratulations on having the number one comedy album in the country.
Right back at you, Sugar. Congratulations to you. It's really a wonderful time. And I'm going to be doing a play reading at the Queen's Theater on Monday for a new play by Robert Wool, a comedian liberal friend.
Yeah. Press,
and
awesome.
Congratulations on procreating the sexy liberal baby that we'll be due in March.
And I want to congratulate Lowe's Hardware for being a mecca for people who hate mecca.
All right, there we go. See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.